You're listening to Cubicle to CEO, episode 183. How do real-life creators, small business owners, and social media managers use data to make smarter marketing decisions? We've brought in two experts from Metricool, our favorite all-in-one social media management, analytics, and scheduling platform, to answer that question and give us the inside scoop. Aniston Ward and Alex Caceres from Metricool's marketing team have a front row seat to thousands of social media accounts of all sizes and niches on platforms ranging from TikTok to Twitter. In this case study, they'll share some of the most underutilized social media analytics tools and insights you can start leveraging today to grow your audience, save time, and improve your marketing strategy with data-driven decisions. To add a visual learning experience while you listen, try their suggestions in real time by signing up for a forever free Metricool account at metricool.com and use our exclusive code CEO to unlock free access to premium features for 30 days as well. The link is spelled Metricool.com, and our code once again is CEO. Welcome to Cubicle to CEO, the podcast. I'm your host, Ellen Yin. I quit my job without a backup plan and bootstrapped my first $300 freelance project into $2 million in revenue by age 28. On this show, you'll hear weekly case study interviews with leading entrepreneurs and CEOs who share one specific strategy that successfully grew their business revenue. Skip the expensive and time-consuming learning curve of testing everything yourself by borrowing what actually works from the best and brightest mentors. You'll also get a front row seat to my founder's journey through transparent income reports and behind the business solo episodes. Subscribe now so we can grow together every Monday. Hey everyone, welcome back. I am super excited today to have two special guests on. Please welcome to the show Aniston and Alex. I am going to let you two introduce yourselves and your roles at Metricool. And Alex, I'll just jump right to you. How did you join Team Metricool? I know both of you head up the marketing department here in the US, and I would love to hear how you got into this role at Metricool.
Yeah, so I was actually looking for another social media manager job. So I found Metricool on LinkedIn and I had actually never heard of them. But when I did, it was like the perfect fit. I actually didn't even know that they were Spain-based. So I applied for the US social media manager position and it just so happened to work out that I'm also Spanish speaking. So that has been really helpful. And I've been doing the position for 5-ish months now and it's been really great so far.
That's amazing. And Aniston, what about you? I know Aniston, if you're listening, by the way, is a local Oregonian. So I was so excited when I found out she was joining us from Bend, but go ahead.
Yes. So Alex and I got hired around the same exact time, but last year I was actually living in Madrid. I was teaching English for a teaching program, and at the end of it, I wanted to stay and, you know, was applying to jobs all around the world, but it got to that end point where I was like, probably just need to go home. My visa was running out. And so my last week I applied and they, you know, we had interviews and they were so confused because I was in Madrid. So I was on Spanish time. And they were like, are you going to be working from Spain or from the US? And I was like, well, I have to go home. So the US, but it ended up working out. So now when I tell people that I work for, you know, a Spanish company, they're like, oh, you got that, you know, cause you lived in Spain. I'm like, it's actually really unrelated, but it worked out. It's been so great. And yeah, just love working with Metricool.
I think that's one thing that I love about everyone I've had the honor of, you know, talking to at Metricool is that the team is all so collaborative and so supportive. And I've had such an amazing experience with each and every individual, which speaks a lot, of course, to the company culture, especially one that's spread across the ocean. I know for a lot of our listeners, though, this may be the first time they're hearing about Metricool. This is a social media scheduling platform. I mean, it's so much more than that, but, you know, at its core that we have used since 2020. Our team at Cubicle to CEO absolutely loves Metricool. But can you give a quick synopsis of what Metricool is for someone who's never heard of it?
Yeah, of course. So Metricool is like your all-in-one social media planning, managing, analyzing platform. So what a lot of people don't know about us is that not only are we a social media planner, but we also have in-depth analytics. We have an inbox feature that's really great. So you can take, you know, your work on the go. We also have a link in bio tool. We really are just like a really great hub for basically anyone who needs to manage social media in any capacity.
In terms of kind of our accessibility, I think that's something that's huge for us is, you know, most social media tools can get pretty pricey. So we have anywhere from free all the way to, you know, those options for enterprises. So our options are basically adaptable to any person who works in social media.
That's what really drew me to Metricool initially, is that flexibility, like you said, to grow with the tool, to grow with your platform. And like you mentioned, if you're just starting out and you are a small business owner with one social account that you're really trying to manage and plan and grow, you can start with the free plan. But also if you are a social media manager that freelances for a lot of clients, or maybe you are a large agency that manages, who knows, 100 plus brands and all of their related accounts, Metricool has the capacity to support both types of businesses and both types of needs, which I think is just incredible. And I wanted to start our interview off, for those listening on the podcast already know that today's case study is about how to use Metricool's analytics tools, like your Robust reports, like your cross-platform insights, to make smarter marketing decisions. And I thought it would be fun to start off with a hot take. So I would love both of your opinions on this, but why are native platform insights not enough? For example, like, we all know, you know, if you use Instagram, you can go to their analytics, you can go to their insights, and they'll show you things like impressions and engagements and profile visits and whatnot. But what are the data points that you think business owners and creators are missing by relying solely on native insights? Why is it not enough?
So because I am the social media manager, I am on social media all day. So if I'm, let's say, for example, if I'm looking at Instagram, I can only really see like my impressions. I can see a very general view of like how my hashtags are reaching if I'm coming from non-followers, followers. But if you're using Metricool's analytics feature, you can really dive deep into where those metrics are really populating from. So what I mean by that is like, for example, I could see, you know, what hashtags are working well for me, not just like how my reach is doing. It's like what hashtags specifically are the ones that allowed that post to perform well. Or Instagram doesn't give you competitor analysis, which is something that Metricool does give you. And that's also super, super helpful for just anyone in business, because you can pick like, you know, your local competitors, or it could even be like, you know, enterprise competitors, and you can see what they're doing that is or maybe isn't working. And then you can also, you know, get a little bit of inspiration, adapt, give it like your own lens and work with some new content that way. And those are things that are super valuable that I don't think a lot of people know that you can really get from like a third-party platform like Metricool.
Wow, that's really impressive. I want to put a pin in that because that's a really interesting tool that I want to circle back to, this idea of competitor analysis. So I'm going to come back to you in just a moment, but Aniston, what's your weigh-in on this hot take? Why are native insights not enough?
I think another really important thing is viewing your demographics and seeing, you know, what age are most of my followers, most of my viewers, what cities are they in, which countries are they in? I think this is important in terms of, you know, finding your ideal clients, finding who, you know, your main followers are, so you can stay engaged with them and really gain insights of, you know, who you're trying to speak to.
Absolutely. And beyond, you know, I guess looking at, oh, okay, 50%, let's say, of my users are between 25 to 44. Like, let's just say that's a stat that someone finds. What are the ways that you are seeing people successfully use that metric to actually inform their marketing decisions?
So Metricool is based in Europe, right? But we actually have three separate kind of like teams. So we have French, Spain, and the US market. They expand a little bit more into that, but let's just say in general for the US. So before we came on, they didn't have anyone in the US that was maybe able to really target like what is happening, you know, in our demographic, in our area, what people like, you know, even if it's like millennials or Gen Zers. Like when we came on, I was able to build a strategy based off of our demographics and our age ranges and really cater our audience to who is looking at our content and also bring in like that, you know, US knowledge of what we like to see in social media. And that's one way that I was able to use analytics to really cater to that. So like when I plan out my content each week as a social media manager, like I'll look at like, okay, so this piece of content might cater more to our Gen Z audience, but I also have this piece of content on LinkedIn that is definitely going to cater to a little bit more of an older audience.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So you are customizing the content for each platform based on the demographics and what's showing up as who your primary community is, right?
Yes, exactly. So each platform, let's say our LinkedIn audience is typically a little bit older. So I will try to cater to maybe things that they're looking for, they're trying to get answers to in the social media space, as opposed to like if I'm on TikTok and I'm jumping on a trend that I can adapt to social media marketing or metrics.
That's awesome. That kind of brings up a follow-up question of, you know, cross-platform insights. You're talking about LinkedIn, you're talking about Instagram. What are all of the apps and platforms that Metricool can provide insights for? I remember even back in 2020, and I'm sure, you know, your tools have only continued to progress and grow since then. But even back then, I was blown away by how many channels you guys cover. It was so rare, even for some of the biggest, you know, social planning tools that were available in the US market. They were not covering the number of platforms that you were. Like, I remember I even saw Twitch on there. I'm not a gamer, right? Right. So like, yeah. I'm not going to use that, but I was like, oh, wow. Like that is really helpful to a creator who may be in that space. So maybe if you could just share with us what all channels you cover.
Absolutely. So Metricool covers, you can add your website or your blog, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, TikTok, Google Business Profile, YouTube, Twitch, and then Facebook, Google, and TikTok ads.
Dang. Did you hear that? All right. If you are listening to this and your mind's spinning, go back, rewind 15 seconds, write all of those down. This is truly an all-in-one for you to host all of the content channels that you may be creating for and get those insights in one place. That kind of brings me back to something you mentioned earlier, Alex, about competitor analysis. Can you give us a walkthrough of what that actually looks like? Like, what does that mean? What are they telling you about your competitors? Like, pretend we're looking over your shoulder right now. I know that, you know, this is a podcast. And even if you're watching on YouTube, it's not a screen share right now. But if someone was on Metricool, like, what would they search? Would it be the brand's name? And then what kind of information populates about that competitor's profile?
Yeah, so we actually make it really easy. All you need to do is make sure it's a business profile. So for example, let's just use Instagram again. So you would just need their handle. And as long as it's a business profile, you would go into our analytics section and we have a section that's specifically devoted to competitor analysis. So you just hit add and you type in the profile. It's going to take a second to populate. But once it does, it's going to show you how many followers they have, how often they're posting, their likes, their comments, and their engagement rate. And then you can also toggle the time period. So say you want to say this over the last week or the last like 3 months, you can do that. And we'll also give you the more popular posts, and you can go in and click more stats and see that as well.
Interesting. And you mentioned like for your own content, Metricool allows you to see which individual hashtags you're using in a post are the ones that are actually bringing in the most reach and traffic to a post. When you're looking at a competitor's profile, are you able to see that same data, or is that exclusive to your own account?
The being able to see individual hashtags is only unique to your own account, but you are able to see specific posts within competitor analysis that is really helpful for that. And you can see like the likes and comments and interactions and engagements for those.
Awesome. So it's like a curated roundup of what's working across your industry, right? Like what type of content people are really gravitating towards, so that you can pull those trends and see how you can apply that to your own profile. Would you say, is that how you're using it, or how you're seeing other people use that?
Yes, exactly.
And I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding of exactly what that means, because it can kind of seem like you're almost stealing their content, and that's not what we want to do, right? So we want to see what's working for them and then adapt that into our own brand voice, our own brand imaging. So it's really just kind of gaining a grasp of, okay, what's working for them? What are we seeing more engagement on? And, you know, maybe it's a content type, maybe it's some sort of nuance, so it's not stealing or plagiarizing by any means. That's not what we want to do.
I love you for adding that extra context, because we always are such advocates of, look, there are very few new ideas in this world, but you can always provide a fresh perspective, and to draw inspiration is one thing, but yeah, to blatantly copy or plagiarize is a completely different thing and very unethical. So I love that you brought up that distinction. We've already kind of talked about some of these, you know, tools and insights, features that you're really loving and using both within your own company account, but also seeing your users use. But I would love for each of you to share your top three absolute favorite analytics tools, like things that people may not even know are possible. I know robust reports, like I'm sure one of you might be able to speak to that, but what are your top three absolute favorite analytics tools?
Okay, I know that, so this is a newer one that we just added, and I think this is just such an awesome analytic tool. So in our TikTok analytics, we added impression sources. So you can see where your views are coming from based off if it's from the For You page, follow, from your profile, a search, or even a sound. So say if you use a trending audio sound, you can see if people, you know, are viewing it from this. So that will show you, okay, do I need to be using these more of these trending audio? Are people finding my profile from searches? And if that's low, then maybe that shows that you need to work on your SEO. So that shows, you know, how you can adapt your strategy to improve your content. Another one, of course, is our reports. I think our reports are just awesome. They're super customizable. So you can add your own brand's logo. You can add your client's logo. You can even toggle on to receive monthly reports automatically. And if you want to send it to your client or, you know, your coworker, you can add in their emails and it will send it directly to them. So it just eliminates a lot of those extra processes, and it comes in a really nice, clean document, which is amazing.
It looks like you spent hours putting it together, by the way. I remember when I was, when we were still working with social media clients, external to our organization, and we had to put our end of month recap reports together. Metricool was a godsend, y'all. Like if you have ever spent a ton of time in, you know, PowerPoint or Keynote or Canva creating a slide deck, you know, showcasing the end of month results, you know how time consuming it can be. And Metricool, the presentation was so beautiful, so professional. It looked like you spent hours creating it, or you could even just grab screenshots of key metrics and, you know, put those into your decks. I also remember when we were using them for clients that we were able to select exactly which sets of data we wanted to feature. So it wasn't just this like, oh, we're going to pull together all the possible data in a report. Like you could toggle things on and off so that it only shows the metrics that you want it to show. Is that the case?
Yep. Yes, that's all the case.
And you can also change if you want to focus on impressions or interactions. So changing those metrics, and then also, you know, how much you want to appear. So you can max row of 20 or 100. So you can really change it to whatever you like.
That's amazing. You also mentioned, Aniston, that in TikTok, you can see traffic source. I'm blown away that you can see if it came from, like you said, For You page or a sound. I know that for so many of us, of course, you know, with changes in content, I think right now, like talking head videos, organic kind of front to camera videos are just as popular, if not even exceeding the popularity of, you know, trending audios. But still, trending audios are such a great way to kind of ride the momentum of, you know, a collective audience that's like really interested in a specific point of content. So being able to separate that out, I think would be so helpful for people. Even I'm thinking of our own account. Sometimes we have a video just take off and we have no idea what made it take off, right? We're like, is it because we use the trending audio? Is it because of, like you said, the keywords? Is it the fact that, you know, we just timed it right? It's so hard to know. Do those same features that you mentioned about traffic source apply to Reels as well? Like, can we see if Reels traffic came from a trending audio, or is that exclusive to TikTok?
I think it might just be...
I think it's exclusive to TikTok.
Yeah, I think it's exclusive to TikTok. Okay. But the amazing thing about it is that it's not even available yet on TikTok. So whereas TikTok has some of those basic impression sources, we take it a little bit deeper and add those sources, you know, like the sound. So yeah, we're ahead of the game.
You are literally beating TikTok at their own game.
Yeah, we're first on the market with this feature as well too. So we're the only ones who have it at the moment.
Wow. Go Metricool engineers. That's amazing. And Alex, what about you? What are your favorite analytics tools that you really want to make sure our listeners are capitalizing on?
So they somewhat mirror Aniston's favorites, but I wanted to just dive a little bit deeper into those TikTok analytics that we have recently added. Something that I really like is we did add like hashtag and like sounds, and like you can track all that. But I like to look at the average time watched, which you can see in TikTok, but we take the total time watched, we'll take the average time watched, and we'll also like put that all nicely into a little graph as well. It'll all show up in like a nice little table so that you could see where all of that sources are coming from. And something that's really great, I think that Aniston touched on, was using SEO with analytics. So because you can see if your videos are showing up in search terms, that metric alone will help you so much. So like, say for example, like we'll use, you know, social media, or we'll use like the words analytics, like on the actual screen of TikTok videos, if that is being specifically searched. So for example, like how you can use like, you know, your analytics on Metricool to like, you know, increase your reach. If that is being searched, it'll pop up like in a percentage form in our analytics section. So you can see, oh, like this video did work for SEO in that way, like it's being searched for. So maybe I should make another video because those keywords are being searched for.
Oh, amazing. And does it do the same thing like hashtags where it will break down exactly, like, for example, let's say you use both the word social media and analytics in the same video. Will it tell you like analytics brought in 50% of the search traffic and social media brought in 25%? Or is it just saying overall of all of your traffic, like 50% came from SEO?
Yeah, so it'll be more of a general view. So the way that it's seen is it's in a list of posts. So you'll see the video and then it'll just show you like in the columns the percentage that is happening from that specific video. So you might not be able to tell which hashtag specifically brought you like that 50%, but you can narrow it down if you only use like 7 hashtags or so. You can see that one of those worked. And then you can kind of, you know, test and see what's working in the future with those.
If you have like a crazy spike and you're like, you know, say if you posted a video the day before and then you wake up and you have a crazy spike, you can also change the date range. So you can change it to last week or yesterday. So say if you kind of have one of those spikes and you're like, where is this coming from? You can change the range and that will give you better insight.
This is just mind blowing. The fact that, okay, I just want to recall that again for listeners. The fact that TikTok itself doesn't even give you this insight and Metricool does, like, what are you waiting for? If you play in TikTok at all, you need these analytics. This is going to totally change how you approach your social strategy. Are all of these features that we've talked about so far, by the way, are these all available to even free users of Metricool, or are some of these exclusive to the premium account option?
Most of them are free. We touched on reporting. Reporting is more of a premium feature, but like the TikTok analytics, completely free. So you really should make an account.
We'll make sure to drop the link below in the show notes where you can sign up for a free account. We'll also include a code. It's just CEO, and that will give you 30 days free on any premium account. So if you want to trial all the premium features without any risk, you can just use the code CEO when you sign up for your account. Or if you just want to start with the free account and start playing around with the tools, that's also available to you. And like I said, just scroll below to the show notes and click on that and you'll be able to get yourself set up with it. I know we've been really heavily focusing on analytics, but I do want to just at least take a moment to highlight some of the other amazing features that are available to Metrical users. For myself personally, I know one of the most used features that we use internally as a company is the real-time insights. Like basically when you connect your website or your blog to Metrical's platform, you're able to see in real time who is visiting your site from where. Like it will literally say like their state or their country. And you can see the series of links that they're clicking. Like last night, I was drafting up an email late night to like send out. And I saw there was, it was like really late, you guys. And there were like four people randomly on our website. And I could see, oh, like they came in from this opt-in, but then they clicked over to our podcast link. And then they clicked over here. And that series, that trail of steps is so illuminating because it shows you how people are actually navigating your website, interacting with your content. So that was just like one thing that I thought of immediately that I love. And I want to make sure our listeners are again, taking advantage of, but what comes to mind for you too? Like what are some of those lesser known or underutilized features that you think everyone should be incorporating into their social strategy?
Absolutely. I think one that's not talked about enough, this is a premium feature, but our smart links. So as most of us know, social media platforms usually only allow for one clickable link. And this is, you know, really limits your options in terms of what you can add, where you want people to go. So with smart links, you can add as many links as you want. You can change them per platform and you can customize them. So you can add different backgrounds, different colors, your logo, everything. And then also you can see the analytics of it. So you can see who is clicking in, like how many visits you're getting, and also you can change them around. So say if you had an event or a webinar or some sort of promotional push, you can change them so you can add it to the top. So that's the first click that people will see. So smart links are amazing.
Thank you for the practical example, by the way. Like I think hearing those real life use cases really helps people grasp like exactly how they can implement this in their own strategy. Mm-hmm. Alex, what about you?
One feature that I think that's really great, it's actually another one of our newer features, but it was one that so many people were asking for beforehand. It's our multi-posting feature. So this is so that you can repurpose your content super easily on Metrical. So say, for example, I have a post that's ready to go on LinkedIn, and let's say it has a link in it. You can hit edit by platform, toggle on whichever platforms you want to post to. And then from there, it's going to create templates. That's a duplicate of like your initial template. And you can just go in and like modify those small little changes per platform. So for Instagram, I can remove the link, add hashtags. For Twitter, I can shorten it to the character count that's necessary. And then you just hit save and it automatically schedules it out to like all of the platforms that you need it to go to. So repurposing is made even easier.
Oh my gosh. I just like, I know all of like the content people who are listening to this are just like probably screaming with delight. Like this is seriously such a pain with the native integrations that are available in platforms. Like, you know how when you post on Instagram, it gives you the option to auto post to Facebook as well, but it doesn't give you that option. Like you just mentioned, to remove the things that are irrelevant to Facebook, mm-hmm. like your hashtags, like the at mentions that never show up correctly. And people mm-hmm. are like, this looks like a post that isn't native to this platform. So that is brilliant. That actually sparked another thing that I saw recently Metrical came out with. And this is like the coolest thing ever, especially if you are a spreadsheet nerd. I admittedly am not very talented with spreadsheets, but thank goodness Metrical kindly created a spreadsheet template with everything already formatted so that all you have to do is like go plug in your captions and like upload images and whatnot. But talk to us about this tool where you can schedule out 30 days worth of content in one click across a multitude of platforms. And this includes things like Reels and TikToks, by the way, you guys. This is not just like static images or carousel posts. It includes video. I was absolutely mind blown by this tutorial that I saw on YouTube about this feature, which we will link for you in the show notes. So if you're like curious to actually get a visual of this and how it works, scroll to the show notes, make sure you check it out. But can one of you kind of walk us through like what this new feature actually means, what it looks like how is this different than just going in and scheduling your posts manually in Metricool one by one?
So the template that we just dropped was actually kind of like our 2023 gift for all of our users. And it's actually a CSV template. So the way that you use it is you go in and like you said, you plug in all your captions, you plug in all your links to like your photos, your videos. And what that's going to do is once you plug all of that in nicely, so say you're batch scheduling a week or even a month out, you just have to go into Metricool, upload the CSV file, and then it's going to read that template in and just upload it into your calendar. And all you really have to do is make sure that all of your posts look good. And you might have to add a few finishing touches in the end, but everything is like almost automated. You can even do it with, like you said, with videos. All you have to do is you have to make sure that your videos and your photos are viewable in some sort of link. So like we will use like a Google Drive link that's viewable so that it can pull that link from to upload. But you can also use Dropbox as well.
I cannot state this enough, you guys. You have to watch this video. It's like 2 minutes long, so it will not take any time away from your day, but go to the show notes and watch this video. I think you are just going to be like gaping at your screen that this even exists. I just love the way that your team, when you created this spreadsheet, how you broke it out into tabs. Like there's like a tab for, you know, LinkedIn, a tag for Instagram, TikTok, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, you just literally go in, you guys, and like type in your little caption and link your, you know, your creative, your image, your video or whatnot. And it's seriously like this file is just read and populated into your content calendar and it's all uploaded. So you don't have to like manually upload each and everything. It's truly, truly amazing. That was a great explanation. Thank you, Alex. All right. I want to move into hot take number two. I promise this is the last time I'll put you guys on the spot, but I just wanted to get your opinion on this. You have the privilege, I guess, of getting an inside look at thousands of social media accounts, right? Not only individual creators, but also big, like you said, big enterprise brands that are doing millions of impressions a month. So in looking at all of the behind the scenes data as a social planning company, what do you believe will be the biggest or emerging trend in 2023 on social? What are you seeing performing really well for your user accounts right now across your user database?
One thing that I'm seeing a lot is authenticity. And what I mean by authenticity is putting out content that is truly authentic to you and your brand. And that can literally manifest in so many different ways. That could be something as simple as talking to the camera about your business. It could be talking about yourself if you're, you know, your own personal brand. But authenticity is so popular across all platforms right now. Of course, TikTok is probably at the forefront of that, but we're seeing authentic posts perform really well on Instagram, even like on LinkedIn and on Facebook. People are really appreciating creators and businesses being authentic and true to themselves and their branding. And that's what people want to see. It's not, they don't want as much curated as they want authenticity.
I was just at a conference in Nashville this past week and that exact sentiment came up that people just really crave that. I know I'm not a Gen Z. I don't know how old you two are. So maybe you two fall in that range, but like, I'm kind of right on the cusp. Like I'm a millennial, right? Like I was like in the last 2 years of qualifying as a millennial, I guess. But I saw that someone said, I can't remember who said this. So I apologize if I'm quoting you and I'm not saying your name, but someone was like, Gen Z is like the anti-filter aesthetic. Like they like the aesthetic that is purposely not filtered. And I think that we went through such a, what is it, evolution on Instagram, especially, you know, how like even 5 to 7 years ago, like 2016, Instagram was such a different world, right? It was like your grid had to be perfect. Everything had to match. You had a certain aesthetic. And now it's like, for lack of a better term, it's almost like a hot mess express. Like when you see people's feed, it is all over the place in terms of like what is showing up. So I really love that you call that out. And I want to just go one layer deeper, Alex, like of all of the authentic, like just talking to camera type of video content, is there one type in specific that you feel is really, you know, just taking off? Like, for example, some people do the, what is it, like B-roll of them, like just in their day, and then they put like text over it and it's like raw from the camera roll. Or some people do photo dumps. Some people, like you said, do talking head cameras. Is there any specific one that you are seeing kind of be the leader in the authenticity trend?
I feel like what I've been seeing a lot is being authentic, but also being relatable. I think that people are more than likely to read your post or to stop and watch your video if on some level they can relate to you, right? So even if you're not in the same job field, or if you're not, you know, maybe in the same points in your career, like if you can somehow relate to a person in any capacity, I think that that'll take you miles farther than like, you know, just posting just a post to post, for example.
Right. Do you feel though that sometimes it's easier for personal brands to do that than say company accounts? Like I know for a lot of our community, people who are not necessarily the face of their brands, they struggle with that. They go, well, I want to be authentic and I want to connect with my audience, but I don't want to become a personal brand. I don't want my face to literally be on everything. How do you suggest companies, like, I mean, and maybe you even draw on your own experience running Metricool, where like Metricool is its own brand. It's not like the Alex Show or the Aniston Show or the founders or CEO. How do you balance that, like offering that authenticity and relatability without having to rely on a specific personality?
Yeah. So I do definitely think that it is harder if you're not necessarily a personal brand to really bring that relatability forward. So the way that we've done it is like, well, yes, like me and Aniston are at the forefront of a lot of our social platforms and things like that. We like to take user feedback into account a lot. So we really find that that's kind of how they'll relate to us, right? So if I ask, let's say on like a weekly LinkedIn post, like, what do you want to see from us? Like, what is it that would help you? And then we can take what they're giving us and bring them that content and obviously still relate it back to like Metricool and Metricool's features or maybe something in the social media marketing space. But I think that that's a really great way to really connect with your audience if you don't necessarily need to put like, you know, a face to the brand. You can just ask them for user feedback because that's something that people really value. Like, they know that you're listening to your audience and really trying to improve your business for them because, again, they're the ones that keep you going.
That's great advice. Not assuming, but asking. Thank you, Alex. Aniston, what about you? What's your hot take on the emerging or what you believe will be the number one social trend in 2023?
Okay, this might not be a super hot take, but I feel like repurposing is really important. And I don't think being on every social media platform all the time, every single day is, you know, maybe the best route. I think it's important to choose a few platforms and spread your messages across them. And so, you know, maybe your main platform is Instagram, but you can easily and time efficiently, you know, take your reels and change them into YouTube shorts or TikTok videos. And I think piggybacking off of Alex in terms of authenticity, repurposing those and presenting to, you know, those different platforms, hey, what issues are we seeing from our clients, and really showing the solutions. So, you know, maybe it doesn't have to exactly be, okay, use Metricool and everything and be super promotional, but providing some of those outside tips of, okay, this is how we save time scheduling our content, or these are some extra tools that we like to use on top of Metricool. I think that goes on top of authenticity and moving away from just the, you know, uber promotional content of, okay, buy our product and, you know, be our customer. I think going beyond just your brand and, yeah, being authentic.
I'm curious for you, when you're looking at repurposing, I know it's a different for every business, every creator, what their primary content that they repurpose from is. But for you guys, like when you're looking at repurposing, what is the content that is the origin source, so to speak, that you then repurpose from? Like, are you taking like TikTok as like the primary content channel that you're repurposing everything from? Is it LinkedIn? Is it Instagram, Facebook? Like what's the origin source?
So we primarily repurpose, at least for video content, we primarily repurpose from TikTok. So we will post our TikTok and then that will eventually be shared to Facebook Reels, YouTube Shorts, and IG Reels. We kind of work in different formats. So for Instagram example, like we will repurpose our Instagram carousels as PDFs to LinkedIn, which is really great for getting more information out there. And I think that that's something that a lot of people aren't doing, but it's such an easy way to create content on LinkedIn. So it really just depends on, I guess, the type of content, but those are two of like the primary ways that we'll repurpose.
That's really interesting. When you say repurpose Instagram carousels to LinkedIn PDFs, is that the new feature on LinkedIn where it looks kind of like a carousel that people can still swipe through? Or are you talking about like a literal PDF that they can download and like take home with them?
So yeah, LinkedIn, like, so if you were to just repurpose, because you can easily repurpose the carousel to LinkedIn and it'll show up kind of like as a swipe through PDF. But what we'll do is we'll download all the slides, transform them into a PDF and upload them. That way it's easy for people to download and keep it, especially if it's just like an informative type of content piece, because then they can refer back to it later.
That's so smart. Are you putting that behind an opt-in wall, or are you just giving it out for free and you're really not asking people to, let's say, exchange their email for that PDF download?
Completely for free.
Wow, that's amazing. And you two also brought up just one more thing that I'm kind of curious on, speaking about repurposing. If you're starting with TikTok for short form videos and then repurposing to Instagram Reels, Facebook Reels, and YouTube Shorts, across those four shorts focused platforms, which one are you seeing the most momentum and growth from? Because I know right now there's kind of this like a little bit of a this is my hot take for 2023, by the way. I know no one asked me, but here I am. I'm going to say it. Like, I feel like there's this emerging battle between YouTube Shorts and TikTok. And I know a lot of people have always been like, oh, it's TikTok versus Instagram Reels. Like, which one are you going to play on more? But I actually think it's YouTube Shorts, and they are really aggressively investing in a lot of different features. So I would not be so surprised if there was a larger migration from TikTok to YouTube Shorts in the coming year. But I'm just curious from your guys' perspective, you know, repurposing across all four platforms, which of the Shorts forms are you really seeing take off?
I agree with your hot take. I think YouTube Shorts is going to like explode. And honestly, like YouTube Shorts is probably what is working the best for us right now.
Really? Okay. That's so interesting. And are you changing anything about the video when you put it on YouTube Shorts? Are you changing up the keywords that you're putting in the title? Or is it literally like you're grabbing the video from TikTok, removing the watermark, obviously, and then just throwing it up on YouTube Shorts with the same exact like keywords and everything?
I think we do tweak it slightly for like SEO purposes for YouTube, but for the most part, it's fairly similar. Sometimes the captions are the same, but we'll definitely like cater the hashtags or like just like the title a little bit differently. But yeah, sometimes like, you know, it really does fluctuate. Sometimes we'll see it perform better on TikTok and sometimes on YouTube Shorts. But in general, we have seen really great success with YouTube Shorts across not even just like the US platform, but like our French and Spanish platforms as well.
Amazing. Well, Aniston and Alex, thank you so much for coming on here today, indulging me in all my hot seat questions that put you on the spot. You two are real troopers. To wrap up this conversation, can you share with our listeners where they can go to connect with Metrical?
Yeah, of course. So you can go to metrical.com. Make sure to look out for our new website coming on Monday. We've worked really hard on it. It looks so good. I'm really excited, really proud of Metrical. So metrical.com. And you can also go to the blog site, metrical.com/social media blog. That's where you'll see some of my pieces. and then also our Instagram, Metrical app. Alex, I don't know if you want to dive into more of the social platforms.
It's Metrical app on both TikTok and Instagram. And then I believe if you just look up Metrical on YouTube, it should be like Metrical EN or just Metrical in English, something like that. But yeah.
Thank you. Well, by the time this episode airs, the new Metrical site will definitely be live. So I'm personally am very excited to see all the new things. They always are rolling out the best features, and they really are, I think, first to market with a lot of innovative insights, tools. And so if you are someone that likes to stay ahead of the game, Metrical is where you need to be. Again, make sure you scroll below to the show notes or go to metrical.com, sign up for a free account, and you can use our code CEO if you want to trial any of the premium features for 30 days. Aniston and Alex, thank you so much again for joining us on Cubicle to CEO.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was so fun.
So fun.
Hey, Ellen here. Thank you again for tuning in to Cubicle to CEO. If you enjoyed today's episode, follow our show on Instagram at Cubicle to CEO for more bonus content and hop on the last Tuesday of each month to watch our live after show with recent guests. If you want to support our podcast, text this episode link to a friend, leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, or rate our show wherever you're listening right now. Please make sure you also hit the follow button on Apple. It looks like a plus sign, or click subscribe on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss out on our new episodes every Monday. And friends, until next time, keep dreaming big.